If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well.
Wow. What a history.
Wow. What a history.
What a history. I'm checking this out.
I'm checking. Yours is always so much better. I'm checking this out.
I'm checking this out.
Wow.
What a history.
Tonight we say goodbye to September and we enter the harvest.
Of October.
October. All Hallows Eve is coming up.
All Hallows Eve, it's Paimon's month to shine.
Do you have any ideas?
The veil between
the living and the dead
is being lifted.
Obscured.
And we're more in touch with the spirits than ever before. Mm-hmm. And I feel it.
With one of the 10 kings of hell.
Yeah.
What's your, do you have any ideas?
Well, I thought I was going to be the act with Tony. Where
I can't watch that show. It's
harrowing.
I saw the doc Mommy Dead and Dearest. I saw that and I was like, nope.
It truly is such a good show. Like at first, like the first episode, I was like, this show is cheesy and lame. But
Kreisha's in it.
Huh?
Isn't Kreisha in it? Kreisha Fairchild?
Is she?
Yeah. She plays like a doctor in it. Who's like, I think like why she's like
really
an older woman.
I would have to rewatch because I don't remember. Like,
I think I read.
I don't
the cast.
Know her face well enough to like be able to place it.
You watched Kreisha, right?
Yeah, talk about a horror movie.
Please, that's a great horror movie for October.
It is a great horror movie.
It's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a great. Everyone watched Kreisha.
Trey Edward Schultz directed it.
It's truly incredible.
It was his first movie.
It's a story of addiction, but it. Is basically formatted like a horror movie. It's
Al-Anon, addiction, like everything.
Yeah, it's wild.
And
that was, I think, a maybe movie I can only watch once.
Yeah.
But I think about it all the time.
It's a brutal, it's about like just a woman going home to her family on Thanksgiving and trying to reconnect with her estranged son.
Yeah.
And he filmed it with his actual family.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. His aunt played his mom and his mom played his aunt. who's like his guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful. And yeah, she's a Creesha Fairchild.
Soundtrack is insane.
I know.
Oh, what a movie.
And then he did.
What a movie.
What a movie.
I'm checking this out.
I interviewed him on the phone. He was cool.
You know what I need to do? What are his other movies?
He did that movie, It Comes at Night, which is horrifying.
Yeah, that movie was really good.
Riley Keogh is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in a new movie coming called The Lodge.
Finally. When is that out? I thought it was supposed to be out.
I think it's out next month. We'll go see it.
Yeah.
Scary.
I'm ready to see Joker.
You know what?
Are you taking a Joker pass?
No, I think I was like, I'm not seeing that movie. And now I saw a trailer for it. What movie did I see? Oh, I saw Ad Astra.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
that would really kill your Joker boner.
But I saw the trailer for it and I turned to Simon and I said, I want to see that. I didn't know Robert De Niro's in it.
Yeah. I'm a huge Joaquin Phoenix stan.
It kind of seems like the king of comedy, that Scorsese movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean.
It is kind of like a vibe like that. Yeah. One Halloween, to bring it back to a Halloween costume, I dressed up as Joaquin from I'm Still Here, which was maybe one of my best costumes ever.
Maybe I'll be Rooney Mara.
What if I was Joaquin and you were Rooney?
Mm-hmm.
You have like a Rooney energy that you
could
pull off. Yeah.
Wow.
Like you have like that. You kind of look similar, but if you had like a wig with longer hair and you do like, you make your faces and you do scary eyes like Rooney does, where she's just like scared of everything.
I always have a feeling that Kate Mara, wherever she walks into like the room that Rooney's supposed to be in, she's like Rooney, and then
she's like, I'm coming in the room, Rooney.
And you hear Rooney, she announces her.
She's like, Rooney, don't get scared, because one time she scared Rooney so bad.
But I can see her being like Rooney, and then all of a sudden you hear, I'm not here, and you turn and Rooney's behind like a curtain, mm-hmm. and her feet are sticking out.
Yeah.
And Kate's like, Rooney, I'm not coming out.
Kate Mara was in a bunch of my bar method classes for a while when
really?
I used to do bar on the regular. Yeah, this was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Wow.
But I was just like, wow, it's Kate Mara.
I love when really talented actors come from billionaire families.
I know.
It's great.
I love Rooney.
But I actually love Rooney. And
journey from and being Kate. Raised in like a succession level mm-hmm. wealth to being like...
Being like a great actor.
Yeah, being a great actor and engaged to Joaquin, my king.
Kate's a great actress.
She's great.
Isn't she married to Jamie Bell?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Remember when she was in Brokeback?
Yes.
As their daughter?
Oh my God, I forgot that.
She was so good.
She was really good.
My daddy's not the marrying kind.
What about...
But Rooney in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is amazing.
Yeah.
And obviously Carol.
Carol, duh.
Carol
yeah.
Carol killed me.
What about, though, that Passion of the Christ movie, or Mary Magdalene?
Oh, I think
that movie like came and went with no one watching it.
I think they slipped it under the cracks because it kind of had like a whitewash.
Hmm. They all realized that they'd gone too problematic with the whole thing.
The best thing about that movie was that photo of her smoking a cig
under the cross. Yeah. God.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
But yeah, Joker looks good. I like Zazie Beetz.
Yeah.
The co-star. I think is love interest in the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I've just been on a real Joker tip, but I'm kind of afraid to see it in theaters.
Why?
I'm afraid of like mass shootings.
Oh.
Like that's the first time I've ever felt like, oh, like me, like, because The Dark Knight The Dark Knight Rises, wasn't that a big mm-hmm. mass shooting? I don't know. It just seems like...
God, remember that? The Aurora shooting?
Yeah.
That was horrifying. Anyway, we're not going down that road. But,
no, but I'm...
No, I agree.
It's
like,
weird. I've never really thought that before like wanting to go somewhere, but this is like, I mean,
this is going to be dark, but like every time I go to a movie, I think I have a moment where I'm like when we saw Midsommar mm-hmm. in the Arclight, we're in that huge theater. I was just like, someone could do this right now.
Yeah.
I always have that thought.
Yeah.
But
it's a possibility.
But yeah, I mean, I think there seems like there's some backlash against it already because it's like people are saying he's like an incel in the movie. And
I know, and that's why I feel like incels could get like really mad and then like want to go do something.
Yeah.
I'm into it. It seems like a really cool movie. I like that the like people are getting mad at the director or being like
Todd Phillips.
Yeah, they were like, you're encouraging like violence with this movie, which is like, you need to really get a grip if you're blaming like a director of a movie for like,
I mean,
people being violent. Like, you really actually need to take a step back, find something to sit on, and sit down.
Preaching to the choir.
And like, he was like, it's not our job to like,
no, movie and TV can't, like, I mean,
they can't actually can't do that.
I wrote on a show that you like,
I know,
you get it. Like,
I'm like, please, what incites violence more is being able to like go into a store and like buy a gun.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I can't. Anyways, anyway, but I'm excited to see it.
I'm excited to see it too.
There's another, I feel like there's another good horror movie coming out. Oh, there's that Shining sequel, which,
no, that's a hard pass for me.
Bad.
It's terrible, but the book is really good.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I read the book and it was really good. It's a good, actually, a really good book about like addiction and,
well, that's
how
the Shining was.
Yeah, but like it gets really deep and like family patterns and stuff and like how it affects people. I really loved it.
Family disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like his movies are always a hit or his books are always a hit or miss when they're turned into movies.
Yeah. Pet Sematary was a miss.
Oh.
Pet Sematary was, honestly,
It was not good.
Yeah. That was like not okay.
The
wild thing is that like everyone involved with that movie is thinking it's a hit because it made a lot of money. But really, they should be ashamed of themselves.
I was really excited to see it. And I, yeah.
There was not one good thing about that movie.
It's such a horrifying premise.
Yeah.
There was one part that was really creepy when, I mean, there were some parts that were scary. But I think overall, I was like,
it was jump scares. It was all like, yeah, something like, it wasn't like lingering terror, which is what I look for.
Yeah,
when I walk into like a horror movie experience.
And his books are such lingering terror.
Yeah, I want to be
haunted.
Can't
wait for The Stand.
I want to be haunted for days and weeks, months, and potentially years after seeing something scary.
If you want to read his short, you've read his short stories, right?
Oh yeah, Full Dark No Stars is a classic.
What's that?
That's a collection of short
stories. Oh, I didn't
read
that one.
His.
I read Monkey Shine.
It's really good.
What's The Raft?
I don't think I've read that one.
Oh, or Longer Than You Think? Or The Jaunt?
The Jaunt.
It's about a family that's teleporting to Mars. It's like the new transportation.
Oh, I don't think I've read that one.
It's really scary.
Okay, wait.
What's Longer Before Dark?
Full Dark, No Stars. It's actually like a lot of stuff of his that's been made into movies is in that book.
I'll read it.
It's really good.
I love him on Twitter.
I love him in general.
He doesn't have a cell phone.
He's a real one.
My dad's best friend, him and his wife went to some murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pregnant at the time and Stephen King was hosting it. Like, it was like a murder dinner thing.
Love.
And he went up to her and said, all he said was, when's the baby due? And she screamed.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty ghoulish.
I always want to know, like, what he... And then his Twitter is sweet. He just, like, takes photos of his dog.
Does he have a corgi?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
He's been with his wife... Him and his wife have been married for, like, 50 years or
They've
something.
Been together forever. He just, like, writes every day. And
has so much money.
So much money.
He's like $1 billion.
Yeah. Like an ungodly amount of money.
He's amazing.
He deserves it.
He also like doesn't get enough credit for being a great, like, he's prolific, but he doesn't get
prolific and great. And I think his greatness is reflected in the fact that he can write for anyone.
Yeah.
Like, you can be an intellectual and read his work and get something out of it, or you can be truly dumb and read his work and get something out of it.
He's,
and I think that that's a real, that's talent.
Talent.
Yeah.
He churns good quality stuff out. His characters are amazing. He knows exactly how to like turn like someone into a monster that you would not expect. Like he's so good at like seeing what people will do in like extreme situations, mm-hmm. like The Mist, or like I can't wait for The Stand.
What is that on?
CBS All Access. Mm-hmm. Whoopi's in it.
Love that.
Sold me.
All right.
And
fair.
Alexander Skarsgård is playing Randall Flagg.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be great.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a step back and thinking
about
The Stand.
And think about it.
Wait, what's going on in Gwyneth news?
Okay. So Gwyneth, I watched an interview today with, she's in that show, The Politician, which yeah. I started watching. Is it good? Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I need to watch it.
I've only watched like half of the first episode. But
I'm just in Mad Men mode. So this is, I think, where I'm going to be for like for the remainder of 2019.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be devoted to Mad Men.
I did the whole series in a few months, so I get it.
Yeah. So like, how I was at the beginning of the year talking about Sopranos, we're about to revisit that era, except with just Mad Men,
yeah.
which I realized is Sopranos.
It is.
Because, I mean, he was on Sopranos.
He was?
Matthew Weiner.
Oh, right. I think he meant John Hamm.
But, like, the storylines for the main characters, like, first and second season, I was like, this is literally Sopranos. I'm not mad at it.
It's homework.
Yeah.
So Gwyneth was on promoting The Politician on Today's show with Savannah Guthrie.
She's like a main character on that show.
Yeah, she plays the mom of Ben Platt, who's like, it's like the show, it's like Election, basically. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the vibe I was getting.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. There's like a, it's good. And Gwyneth is being interviewed with Savannah, and the interview's already something must have happened. I don't know, but there was a vibe that Gwyneth was just not into Savannah.
Yeah.
In this interview. Like, she just could not give her the time of day.
Maybe they've met before.
Yeah, there was some...
in the Hamptons, and something left a bad taste in Gwyneth's mouth.
Yeah, it felt, like, weird. And, like, I mean, we were talking about how she did that Jenny McCarthy interview at the Emmys last week. Mm-hmm. And Jenny McCarthy was, like, bizarre and was like, I love The Handmaid's Tale. Don't you love that? And Gwyneth goes, I love it.
Jenny, I think, got confused and thought that Brad Falchuk wrote The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
And then Gwyneth was like, made a face at the camera like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Gwyneth is like, does not care at all anymore.
Gwyneth is done with like trying to pretend she cares.
Yeah. Which I love.
Also, did you read all that about her, that she like a long takedown of Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, Savannah, at one point she was like, you behind the scenes were like a really big part of the Me Too movement. Like, Gwyneth was, like, you know, she came out with her story, but she was doing a lot, too, behind the scenes to, like, help. She had apparently had all the women over for, like, dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she's been, like, a great advocate for that. But the interview was just weird. And, like, Gwyneth was kind of just, like, And at one point, she was, like, you know, how do you find time to act? It seems like Goop is your whole life. And then Gwyneth goes, it sure is. It sure is. I'll play the clip.
Gwyneth is not having it.
No.
My worst fear would be for her to, it sure is me.
For her to do this, I'll play the soundbite.
It sure is.
Goop seems to be your whole life.
It sure is.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Goop seems to be your whole life.
It sure is.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Goop. And her face, it sure is. Like.
She's unhappy. Something hath happened.
I had to turn it off because I was actually... because Savannah looked like she was, like, nervous.
Savannah's about to throw up.
Yeah.
Also, like, her shrill voice being like, yeah! Like, you know, when you just, like, are going into, like, save yourself.
Primal mode. Survivor mode.
You're total primal survivor. You're just, like, an animal in the wild.
Yeah. Gwyneth doesn't have time for that.
No.
But I love that.
It sure is.
It sure is. Withering.
Mm-mm.
But I just love that this year, I feel like Gwyneth has really just embraced her myth this year.
She's hit her stride.
She was talking about, Savannah was like, you know, you kind of became a meme after the Emmys for the way you walked out on stage in that dress. And she was like, you know, she laughed. She was like, and she goes,
Gwyneth has a sense of humor.
She goes, she goes, yeah, I saw it. I don't, you know, I felt like I was walking normally, but, you know, there was no slit in the back of the dress. But, you know, if people want, it's like, she's like, people just are going to worship me no matter what. So I might as well just have a sense of humor about it.
She's like that on her podcast too, where like people will bring up how much Goop was hated on and still gets hated on over the years. And she's just like, yeah, it's like that happens when people come out against it. Just means that we're really onto something. And I was just like, God, how are you so strong? Someone says like one rude thing about me and I'm literally like, I'm going to kill myself.
KMS.
And like, I'm KMS.
Well, she think she's just like, she...
a beacon of hope.
Well, I think Hollywood wanted her to be like the sweetheart, like kind mm-hmm. of prim for so long. And I feel like it just, she just kind of got tired of it.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, right?
Mm-hmm.
She won her Oscar. She was like, she did all these movies.
She played the game for a while and then she created a new game.
She really, yeah, she's like the forerunner of all that lifestyle.
She's a fucking trailblazer.
My tiny miracle, Tracy Anderson. I mean, that video I watch once a year.
Of the her one doing of them.
With Oprah.
Yeah. That was a crucial.
In her private, like, workout yurt.
Mm-hmm. Where she just, like, hops around.
With the ribbon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hop, hop, hop.
It's just, like, a prancing in place, but, like, very specific dance moves.
Mm-hmm. Tracy's still going.
Tracy fully goes.
Yeah, she's got a lot of clients still.
Tracy will never stop.
Are she and Gwyneth still friends?
Oh, yeah. Gwyneth's like a huge investor in Tracy Anderson Method.
God, she has so much money.
I know.
Fuck. And she and her husband like live in separate houses.
I love that. They're hot together, too.
They are really hot.
They're a good couple.
They love each other.
They love each other. Did you read his... Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really
his
sweet.
Post to her on her birthday.
It was great.
And then you sent me that photo of her, Blythe, and Apple. And
I actually screamed in my kitchen as I looked at that. And
it was rare.
Just, yeah.
Blythe?
Gasped, screamed, then immediately texted it to you.
I'm happy that Blythe was in the photo. Because I feel like...
Sometimes Blythe gets... I feel like their relationship has been a little touch and go at moments.
Yeah.
But I love seeing the three generations together.
Like, just more beautiful than the next.
Yeah. Truly, how do they do it?
Do you think Blythe just looks at Apple and goes, my work here is done?
Mm-hmm.
I wanna,
that's how I would feel if I was a grandmother and Apple was my granddaughter.
I still want to write a movie about Dakota and Apple's...
relish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's still with Chris.
I know.
They split, but then they're back together.
They got infinity tattoos.
You can't keep true love down.
No. And
Dakota and Apple are just like going to get smoothies.
You can like talk to me about anything.
Mm-hmm.
She says to Apple.
Yeah.
You know, you can really just talk to me about whatever.
Yeah, I'm not your mom.
And she's like, yeah, I know you're not my mom. No, I bet Apple loves her.
I bet Apple loves her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good relationship.
Yeah. They're just chill. That's like the best relationship to be in.
God.
Is like, if you can just have like a cool stepmom that's really young, that's yeah. like close in age to you.
And famous.
And famous, who just wants to like take you out and get smoothies and you can like, be like barefoot and she'll hold the dog and like carry the smoothies.
And go to like Malibu Country Mart.
Yeah, that's Love. A dream.
Yeah.
I wish that was my stepmom situation. But things
you
took
had a
bit
cool
of
stepmom.
A different turn.
You had a cool stepmom, just... No, I'm kidding.
No.
But yeah, Gwyneth is just not...
She's unbothered.
But I love her. I love her in like a you know, satire role.
Yeah.
But I want to see Gwyneth in like a gritty crime, like Sharp Object series.
I know. I don't know if she'll do that.
No.
I would love a spin-off of Iron Man, but her character.
Yeah.
Because her in Iron Man 3, and I haven't seen The Avengers, whatever that movie was, but someone was like, you need to see it because Gwyneth is amazing in it, and I don't doubt that. She's pretty amazing in all those movies.
But they had like, great chemistry.
Her in Iron Man 3 was like, she morphed into a true action hero, and I would love for her to like continue that. Like, I would love for her to be in like a Terminator movie.
Yeah. Oh, Dark Fate is coming out.
When is Dark Fate coming out?
November.
Ugh, everything's so far away.
Mackenzie. Arnold posted a photo of him and Linda for her birthday, and they were like posing together in Terminator 2, like showing their guns off.
Love.
God. Okay, I'm just going to say this.
What?
I'm extremely darked out by Katherine Schwarzenegger and Chris Pratt.
Join the fucking club.
He posted something recently where he was like,
oh my God, that was
that like rhyme thing. And he's like, we are all his children. And
I was wrote like, a poem.
I'm like, arrest him.
Yeah.
The citizen's arrest. Citizen's arrest. Like, I'm Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs pointing the gun in the basement.
Yeah.
Hands up. Like, I was just like, no, arrest.
Forever. Poem
that was he terrifies me. He freaks me out.
He's Christian propaganda.
He is so sinister to me, and I think he's really scary. And you know, hate on me if you want for saying this, but like I truly am chilled to the bone by Chris Pratt. I think he's really creepy, and when he goes on like a late night talk show and they let him talk about like Christian values on TV, I'm like, excuse me.
Yeah,
I know, like freedom of speech, but like this is fucked up. Like, you're letting like, he's an evangelical Christian who belongs to a church that hates gay people and trans people.
My mom finally figured out like what Hillsong is. Like, she read an article about it. And then she was like, I read an article about that Hillsong. And I was like, huh. And then she goes, are you a millennium?
Are you a millennium?
Are you a millennium? And I was like, yes.
You just go with it.
I just went with it.
I love that.
I was like, she finally heard about millennials.
Are you a millennium?
Are you a millennium?
Yes.
Yeah.
I contain it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, Hillsong is...
he's truly, and I've talked about this too on Babe, so any crossover readers know my feelings, but I'm fine to say it again and again. He is true. He's just a... he's propaganda.
He's scary, and he
I think
lives.
They're making a. They're gonna try and run for office.
I think so.
Yeah,
he's gonna do some Ronald Reagan kind of shit. I think he talks about like how they live on a farm together in like Montecito, and like
they like raise goats.
They raise sheep and goats, and he eats the diet that like David in the Bible.
That
and,
like, was I was like, you need to.
Stephen Colbert was like, whoa, okay, like. Stephen Colbert was very polite in that interview, but I mean, he's probably a nice guy, but like, he's scary.
Yeah, but I'm like, get a grip.
Yeah, but I do not tell me that I am his child.
Yeah.
We are not all his child. Like, what?
That's actually presumptuous and rude.
People have called him out too about like his church. Like, I think they've like kicked gay people out of, or they have some like doctrine. There's something in like the fine print that says like they don't support gay marriage or something, and it's like, and Katherine Schwarzenegger, they like whatever.
She's a child bride.
She's an author.
She is.
That's what her bio says.
Wow. Isn't she like 20 years old?
She's like 27, I think. Oh. She's like
still too young.
She's, I don't think she's 30.
I thought she was like in her early 20s.
Maybe.
I don't trust him one bit.
I'm just happy for Anna Faris.
Yeah.
I love Anna Faris. Mm-hmm. She's fucking cool.
She's living, live, laughing, love. And loving.
Good for her. She's
yeah. Like, I don't trust anyone that goes through a full body, like,
no,
metamorphosis.
He was created in a lab.
Then becomes like a diehard Christian. I'm like, there's something awry.
Yeah.
I'm calling the police.
I'm afraid of him, and I'm calling the police.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to both call the police on Chris Pratt.
Citizen's arrest.
The minute I see that
capital... Let's go to Montecito and arrest him.
The minute I see that capital H, nope.
Mm-mm.
I go like this.
Mm-mm. Carrie's wagging his finger.
No.
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 I won't be checking that out.
I won't be checking him out.
Speaking of sinister characters.
Okay, guys.
We needed to be in Miami over that Art Basel weekend to make a series of citizen arrests.
Okay, so they're still... So we're on the penultimate episode of Gallery Ghouls, guys. It's been a journey.
It's been a journey and went by too fast.
I kind of was depressed when I saw we only had one left.
I know, me too. But we'll figure something out.
We'll do...
You know what? I'm not worried about
it. We always have a trick up our sleeves.
A trick or two, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Basel rages on.
Basel's continuing. It's nearing its end.
Basel is just a continuum.
Yeah. Basel's going on for like.
Basel started years. And never stopped. It's the 100 years war.
This episode was like, I feel like the producers were having some fun with like camera shots because they were like doing weird like artsy like angles and like slow zooms. And because we come in on the EOC girls are at their truly scary hotel.
That hotel is a nunca for me.
I wrote that hotel, I know I'm going to die alone in that hotel.
You're
going to
die. You will die mysteriously and just be face down in the pool.
Yeah. And not be found for a while.
And Miami PD will kind of just like shelve the case and they'll never solve it.
Yeah. So they're at the pool, but there's a slow zoom in. The three of them are at the pool. They're like
it's hungover. A wide lens and then just like slowly zooms in. It's I remember like, this.
Yeah, it was like it's like The Shining, just like they're talking and as they're talking the camera's zooming in on them. And Chantal's wearing like one of her sheer like negligee.
She loves like a sheer cover up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Gallery Girls theme song is in my head.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm a classy girl.
And I'm making my way in the modern world.
That was an era of music where it was like kind of jazzy lady singers and like electro clash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do. Do, do. Like that band Carmen.
Who's in Carmen?
Remember that girl with like the doo-wop? She had like that rockabilly hair.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying maybe.
Oh my god, yes. But if I
in my body tonight. That was that era.
God.
So they're talking about.
They're recapping the night before, and Angela had like a unfortunate run in with a fourth generation Fendi because she was like event photographing and then ran into like Delphina Fendi.
And she asked her for her name for the photo, and she said, Delphina Fendi. And she goes, how do you spell Fendi? And she goes,
Fendi.
I'm fourth generation Fendi. She was like, okay.
Love
Angela not giving a fuck.
Love it. Can you spell that?
Yeah, that was good.
Like A+ troll.
Angela. She was trolling.
Amy calls them to let them know that she has decided to invest
$2,000 in their pop-up shop
to put on a pop-up shop for them.
We cut to Amy at this Wynwood restaurant and. There's a giant, really,
Amy's like full event planner mode. Like this is actually like what she's born to do, maybe.
Yeah.
But not with these ghouls.
No, and like the tent is huge.
It's huge. It's like a dome. Puffy. It's a blow up dome.
It looks like the inside of like an alien spaceship. Like, I don't know why it made me think of like. Like X-Files, like alien prodding and stuff like that.
You get like, sucked into a light beam and you go into like that dome.
Yeah.
For sure. Amy goes, to invest in something I believe in is a great deal.
Yeah.
It's not a deal.
And they're so unmoved by it. The girls are like, oh, wow.
They like are making faces at each other while they're on the phone with her being like, oh, it's crazy.
Chantal's like, okay, like, wow. And then Chantal goes, maybe we'll run into you tonight.
I love being like, I'm going to give you guys $2,000. And then instead of being like, would you like to hang out later? Like, maybe we'll run into you later.
Yeah. And they never once said thank you to her.
No.
Not one of the three.
Mm-mm.
Not even Angela. They were like, wow, Amy, this is really nice of you. And Chantal's like, she's fully lost her mind.
She goes, someone needs to check her into the loony bin.
I was like, she just did something so... I was so mad. Yeah, I was just fuming.
Like, wow, you guys are like pretty evil for
They're
that.
Mean, mean people.
Yeah.
This is a really nice thing. That tent was cool. Like, I mean, it was intense. It was like...
It was intense and it was like... Look, Amy just wanted to help and that's really nice. But I feel like the more helpful thing would have been like giving them just $2,000 so they can pay their bills and then like making yourself an investor in the actual store.
That's true. But, like, I was also imagining, like, from the street, could you think you could see the dome?
I don't know.
I think you could.
Like, rising above. I think trees. That was the point, because they had no, like, promotion for this party.
That's so actually
they
wanted... smart of Amy.
I mean, Amy put together... I mean, she had someone building a wall.
I know.
They were, like... Well, they were, like, carpenters. What? Oh.
Yeah, so maybe we'll run into you tonight.
Maybe we'll run into you later.
And you know, if she'd given them $2,000, though, they would have spent it on, like, drugs.
Yeah.
And, like...
They would have bought, like, a dress.
They would have brought, like, cocaine and, like, Svedka.
It's so bizarre.
They're so ungrateful.
They're very entitled and ungrateful. And, like, then to turn around and talk shit about her, like, after she's done that, I just feel like it's such a bad look.
They can't accept love.
No. They're damaged. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of issues.
They, like, they openly laugh and think it's hilarious when someone's being kind. They're like, oh my God, you're insane. It's like, no, you're Amy's being a nice person.
They think kindness is the mark of a loser.
Yeah. Somebody needs to check her in the loony bin.
Maybe we'll run into you later.
Maybe we'll run into you later.
Liz and Maggie are at a gallery.
Oh my God. So.
And then Claudia and Chantal are there too. And then everyone just ignores each other and walks past each other without saying anything.
They like tilt their shoulders to and fro.
Liz is on one in this episode.
Yeah.
Miami brings out the worst in her, I would say.
Well, it's her native land.
Mm-hmm.
So she is. She wears a lot of eyeshadow.
She loves like a shimmery purple eyeshadow, mm-hmm. which is really with not her, the look. With no. like an eyeliner, it's a bad, it's like Orange County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she, instead of like muttering to herself, like, hate them, fucking so rude. She's like to Maggie, like, you know, I'm going to just end this tension. I'm going to invite them out with us tonight. So she goes up to Chantal and Claudia and she's like, hey guys, so my friend owns a club and we wanted to go there tonight and just like get a table. I'm getting a table there for bottle service and you guys should join. And Chantal literally goes, okay.
I love how like easy they are to act, to penetrate, is you just have to be like, hey, I'm doing this thing where you get stuff for free.
Yeah. And she's like,
all right.
Liz also says they're evil-ish. Which I was like,
I love that.
She goes, these evilish girls.
Evilish.
But, and then they laugh at her for having a table.
Yeah. And Claudia's like, that is not my scene at all. Which Claudia is like, always has something bad to say about everyone.
Yeah. Claudia, you think Chantal is like the real, because Chantal's just outwardly mean, but Claudia is like quietly very cruel.
Yeah. Judgy.
Mm-hmm.
Way judgier and like above
yeah.
it all. Like how she was with Suck Lord. I'll mm-hmm. never forgive her for how she treated Suck Lord.
No. And if someone is going to invite you, like,
you're if you don't want to go, say no.
But also,
it's
like,
really not your scene.
Go and get free drinks.
Yeah.
Like, what's the issue in that?
Unclear. Spencer is jealous and is flying out to Miami because Chantal has been telling him that she's flirting for free drinks and not wearing underwear.
Yeah.
I love a psychological torture of a boyfriend.
She's just sitting in their like Residence Inn room, just like, which I've stayed at a lot of Residence Inn, so yeah. I can say that.
No, you know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
I have too.
And she's just like going, oh my God, you're being so like, stop. And meanwhile, she's like, I'm not wearing any underwear.
Mm-hmm.
I made eye contact with the man while taking my underwear off at the bar.
Chantal lives like if she can't, if like her, you know, she doesn't love that hotel that they're staying in. And like things aren't going well. Claudia's being annoying about this pop-up
she didn't
that
pay
she
for
doesn't want to do. And so she's like, what can I do that will actually bring me a lot of joy? And she's like, I'm going to torture Spencer.
Yeah.
And make him question his manhood.
He's flying from New York to Miami to go. Like,
to just be there for like one night.
To check on her.
Yeah.
Because she's like.
Because she's like, I took my underwear off and lost it in front of a guy. Maybe I was flirting for drinks.
And he's like, you're being
like, what are you doing? She's like, no, stop.
He's like, I land at 2 a.m. and you better. He's like, you need to be in the hotel room at 2 a.m. when I get there.
And she wasn't.
No.
Chantal does whatever she wants.
No. But she's sitting on the couch just going, stop, Spencer.
Stop. You're being so
crazy.
He's like, you're being really weird right now.
She's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I love that.
I love it.
So we see Liz and her posse walking in. What's it called? Mokai?
Mokai. Liz and her talking heads. She goes, I'm back in the MIA and damn, it feels good to be a gangster. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I wrote that in quotes.
That felt really flat to me. Definitely a producer told her to say that.
Yeah. Maybe not, though.
Miami does something to Liz.
Yeah. But, like, she... And I totally forgot that she and Amy were friends in preschool, so they're, like, Miami girls together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They go way back. Mm-hmm. Was Amy invited to Mokai?
No.
So rude.
Amy Poor probably Amy. Followed Liz to New York.
She probably did. She was like, Liz, this girl I know is in New York. I gotta go.
I gotta go up to the Upper East Side. So they sit down at the club, and I wasn't sure if they filmed. I feel like they filmed it when no one was there.
Yeah.
It was really quiet, and they just had cuts of like crazy, like
this in the
dancer
background.
Wearing like a mask and like having something flaming, and then they would cut to them at their bottle service. There was no one in the bar. It was dead silent. You could, because every time, like on the hills, whenever they'd be in a club, they would be shouting.
Yeah.
You could barely hear them.
And you would hear the music like in the background of their vocal audio. Eventually, the club, I think, did get more crowded because like they were shouting by the time Chantal and Claudia got there. But yeah, at first it was dead.
It made me feel uncomfortable to hear them like so vividly.
Just like chatting.
That's what I loved about the hills, is like they were, it felt real because they're like, they're scream rasping.
Yeah. And it was like, this club must have been jarring to be in filming because the lights of the camera are so bright.
Yeah.
And like in the hills, I feel like there weren't bright light cameras. No. It was just like super HD, like expensive cameras.
Yeah.
But they like rented like some iPhones to shoot this.
Yeah. It was weird.
Liz is obsessed with her dad still, and she's obsessed with like chastising people.
I know.
She goes,
she holds her sobriety or her recovery in quotes against everyone.
Yeah. But she goes, say hello when you go to my father's warehouse. Like when she's talking shit about those girls to like Maggie or whoever will listen.
Say hello to your father's
Say hello
when you come to my father's
warehouse. Say hello when you go to my father's warehouse.
Say hello when you go to my father's warehouse. I mean, it's so rude.
So rude.
Yeah, she's
like Kendall on Succession levels obsessed with her dad.
They're all obsessed with their dad in that show, though.
Yeah.
But
Kendall's the most obsessed.
I haven't seen last night's
episode.
You'll
see last night's, and then you'll be like, wow, Kendall is obsessed.
Is it good?
It's good. It's, like, so layered. Like, I was kind of stoned watching it, and I was just like, whoa. Like, the writing on the show is so fucking good. Congrats to the writers of Succession.
Congrats to the writers of Succession.
Congrats to Succession. You really are doing it. I can't wait to see what the next 2 years brings. Please don't end the show for at least 3 more seasons.
Please.
Please, I'm begging you. We really need it.
Like, the greatest show in the world.
It's the best show of all time.
It really is.
It's one of the great...
Oh my God, I can't wait to watch it.
I know. I'm excited for you. But Liz is...
Kendall.
Talking about her fucking dad all the time.
I didn't sit in clubs talking about my dad.
I talk about my dad to my very close friends and my therapist, and that's it. And that's how it should be.
You never scream rasped about your dad?
Say hello when you go to my father's warehouse.
Say hello when you go to my father's warehouse. Why don't you?
When you're at my father's warehouse,
you better say hello to me.
You need to be saying hello.
I am greeted by every person who walks into my father's warehouse, and I think it's rude.
I think it's
so
rude.
And Maggie's just like,
Maggie's like, okay.
Neon lights.
The witches of Bushwick descend on Mokai.
Yeah, Maggie's boyfriend Ryan is there.
Yeah.
With his,
we'll get to him.
Yeah. Yeah, the EOC girls come. They sit down.
And everyone buries the hatchet.
Yeah.
And like squashes all the drama.
I actually was like, I was like, wow, that's like one of the most level confrontations I've ever seen in a reality show.
Yeah.
They were just, and it felt real.
They just talked it out.
Chantal was like, yeah, Liz was like, I felt like you guys were really mean when we first met. And I like came to your show and was like, actually considering buying some stuff, which I was like, oh my God, like they could have made their sole profit of the year in Liz.
Yeah.
And she was like, and then I went to say hi to you guys and you guys were like, hi. And like laughed at me. And
it's like, this is a true business 101. What not to do is everything that Chantal and Claudia have done, which is be very rude to potential customers.
Yeah.
Not show up to work.
Alienate everyone.
Alienate everyone. And like try and take each other down.
And then Chantal goes, you know, yeah, we were being really mean.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry that we made you feel that way.
Which I was like, wow, that was big of her.
And Chantal goes, and Liz goes, thanks. I really appreciate it. And then they're fine.
Yeah.
It was just like the weirdest, like it
and
was.
Claudia's like, Chantal's infamously mean.
Yeah.
And then Chantal's like, no, I'm not.
I'm like, you're crazy, Claude.
They love this game.
And then Liz is suddenly like, they're like hitting it off.
But then they like fully go into like best friends mode.
Yeah.
Chantal's like, do you have siblings? Do you like silver or rose gold though?
And then she goes, French and Polish. My upbringing was largely French and Polish.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really
They
funny.
Go really deep.
Yeah.
And I love that for them.
Me too.
I feel like at the end of the day, they're kind of cut from the same cloth.
For sure. That's why they were clashing. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like game recognized game.
Yeah. They're a mirror.
They were like, their alarms were going off like, whoa, that's me.
There can only be one.
There can only be one of us. And then Liz was like, you know what? We can rule together.
Yeah. Liz is like, you know what? My dad's a billionaire, so I got this.
And your family isn't.
Yeah.
And you like free things.
So
we should be friends.
Yeah.
And Chantal's like, cool.
Do you like silver or rose gold, though?
Do you like silver or rose gold?
Do you have siblings? French and Polish, my upbringing.
Largely my upbringing as well. Which I was like, go into that. And then they leave.
Yeah,
eventually.
As soon as the free bottles are done, the EOC girls are out of there. Which, don't blame them.
On to the next party.
Yeah.
Ryan and his friends start wreaking havoc at Mokai. And this is Liz's friend's bar or club. So she's
trying to be, extra respectful. Maggie, it kind of starts with her wanting another bottle. And, there's this moment where Maggie's like, 300, that's not so bad. And when you're bargaining in the moment for a bottle of liquor, at a club like that, and you're saying, that's not so bad about $300, you're already too lit.
Yeah.
Because that is a lot of money for a bottle of alcohol.
Even Liz was like, what?
Liz was like, no.
They just got $1,000 worth of vodka and she still wanted more.
Yeah. Which I was like, that's kind of a bad look for Maggie.
Yeah.
And then it's also like, well, if you want it that bad, I guess get it. But Liz is like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Liz and her boyfriend were like, we're going.
Yeah.
And then Maggie, and they ended up getting the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie and Ryan and his make pretend friends.
His friend Bobby passes out at the table and everyone puts napkins on his head. And then it's just a long montage of them just throwing napkins and trash everywhere. And then you just see Bobby getting lifted up by two security guards and walked out of the club.
My sister lives in Miami and she got married there. And the night of her wedding, after the wedding, a few of us went out to this Miami nightclub, mm-hmm. and I passed out on the couch in the club.
Did they take you out?
Yeah, they made me leave.
They will not allow that. When I used to go out in club in Chicago, that was the one rule is you're not allowed to pass out.
Yeah. I mean, it's smart.
Yeah.
At the time,
I was like, what's the big deal? Live and let live.
Yeah. I was in a tux though. And they were like, you gotta go.
You gotta go.
So it was triggering. But yeah, they kick him out. And then Maggie, you just hear Maggie going, Bobby, Bobby, stop. Bobby, Bobby. Stop it, Bobby. And I was like, shut up.
Oh my
just
God.
Go home.
What is so great about these guys?
Yeah.
Your whole life revolves around wrangling your wildebeest boyfriend and all his friends.
Why do they all travel in a pack like that?
I don't know. I don't get it.
And how can they afford Miami? Because Ryan seems like a mooch.
Maggie, I think, just has a crazy trust fund.
Yeah, I think he's...
I mean, her dad invented neon.
Apparently.
But I'm talk about aggressive heterosexuality.
Yeah. Hege.
Hege. It's total hege.
It is.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. So then we cut to Chantal and Spencer waking up. Spencer, she goes, I got home last night at 2 a.m. and Spencer was already passed out in my bed.
I love that for her. Mm-hmm. That's the best feeling, like when you go out and then you come home to your SO and they're just like in bed waiting for you. Yeah. And then you're just like feeling kind of silly. And you then go, you're just like,
Got the best of both worlds. Chantal is also fully nude.
Yeah, Spencer is so hot.
He really is hot.
He is just a huge hot dick. Boyfriend.
Think he's a big dick?
Or yeah.
Just knows how to use it?
I think it's just like probably a regular dick size.
Yeah.
But like, that's great. Because it's just like, you'd be happy to be having sex with him.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be big.
No, I'm not even saying like it's not everything, obviously, but I think he just knows how to use it.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get.
I just think it's like he is like, he makes
me B-I-E, big intuitive energy.
Yeah.
He knows how to fuck. B-B-E,
big boyfriend energy.
Yeah.
Like he makes me want a boyfriend, but like want a Spencer.
Yeah.
Because it's just like floppy. It's kind of like, you know who he looks like is the guy on
Search Party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He reminds me of the guy with the glasses who's just like the same so kind cute. Of floppy boyfriend vibe.
Yeah. And like funny and like gets you and like kind of calls you out. But like it's not like they seem like they have a good relationship.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Chantal and Spencer, they've been together 4 years.
Yeah, it works.
It's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
It works
like
well.
It's like a full long-term relationship.
Yeah, they are LTR'd the fuck up. But now Spencer's married.
Wow.
To a woman that's not Chantal.
She's off making like tomb music.
Yeah.
Like a Greek temple.
I love that. Chantal goes, I have a burning headache. You know when you have a headache that burns?
So we cut to, so Chantal's like writhing around the bed, fully nude. She's giggling. She's like, he's going to go get me coffee. It's great.
She's like, pour the coffee. Don't want it in that cup. It needs to be in a glass.
Not styrofoam.
And he's like, I hate you.
Yeah, but he loves her so much.
He loves her. And I just wrote my notes say, Spencer was there when Chantal got home. He's so hot. And then on the next page it says, Spencer hot.
Spencer hot. Yeah, he like reduces your brain to like just...
Cave woman. Spencer hot.
Put a home waiting.
Spencer home waiting. Spencer hot.
Spencer hot. Home waiting. Asleep. Ready.
I'm AI trying to like make sense of Gallagher. I'm literally just like... And the computer that you got fed Gallery Girl's algorithm, and then I spit out like the process, the zeros and ones that come out to Spencer hot.
Spencer hot.
Spencer hot.
Yeah, the algorithm.
2001 A Space Odyssey is just me as a computer going, Spencer hot.
Spencer
hot.
Hot. Waiting. Bed. That's so funny.
Amy's telling them 1,000 people are going to show up to their pop-up.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Like, no.
Amy tells Angela?
Like, that's like the word on the street or whatever. Yeah, like, Spencer, when they're talking about it. They're like, Amy's saying like 1,000 people will come. Do you even know 1,000 people is so many people?
I know like 6 people.
Yeah.
I don't know without like
I've never seen I don't think like a group of 1,000 people like coming through a party is like no.
Also Simon said that he said that where they were in relation to because they were promising art like through traffic
from,
like,
the art walk,
and he said that it was where they were was like far from the
where we are there is no art.
But he said he said where they were in the area that they were in is actually far from the Art Basel Festival. So like,
love that.
But I guess, but Wynwood is
it like looked like they were in like a bar district.
I mean, Wynwood is an art district, but like Art Basel is more, I think like more south.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway, I don't know, but they were promising like that traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just a little food for thought. But so then we cut to Maggie is like so fucking hungover. She meets Liz. They meet at like
Maggie's the square sunglasses on her sunglasses God. Are like they just like morph to her head.
Yeah.
Maggie can like barely speak.
I wrote Maggie's hangover is unbelievable.
Yeah. I love like also she's like hot just sitting out in the sun.
Yeah.
And like very hungry, I assume.
Oh, it's that aching.
Is that aching hunger where, and it looked like at their hotel, it was just like a fruit bar or like, I was hoping for their sake, it was like a full breakfast buffet, but I feel like it's like not even good hangover food that you really need if you're going to like feel better.
So Liz is mad at Maggie because Ryan's friends caused a scene. Her friend complained to her that they didn't even tip.
Liz is freaking out. She's not even mad. She's like fully lost it.
But they didn't tip.
Which is rude.
Really rude. But for their bottle that they bought for themselves. Mm-hmm. But and she's like you know, recapping that they caused the scene, the friend had to be taken away, and Maggie's just kind of like, yeah, I'm really mad at Ryan right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, why are you dating this guy, basically?
She says, how dare he? That kid is a creature, a commoner creature. He's disgusting. And I was like, whoa.
I think she was talking about...
Oh, she's talking about Bobby.
But still, like...
But still, it's like, damn.
She's kind of talking about Ryan.
Yeah.
And Maggie, because she's like, you're associated with these people.
And she's like, then... Like, yeah, basically talking about
going
Maggie.
Off. Like, she would not let it go.
She's wild.
She's so upset that the owner of Mokai is going to be very displeased. I was kind of like...
Also, it's like, okay, I get well, it. She can, like, go back in and tip.
Or just go apologize.
And also,
or
like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's also not... I mean, Maggie is not...
It's not like someone got in, like, a brawl.
No, and it's not Maggie... Like, Maggie didn't do... Like, Maggie can't control...
Like, you've seen those beasts, like, they're beyond control.
I think it felt like a very veiled, she was kind of saying that about Maggie.
Yeah.
That Maggie was she was like,
she's just being like, you're disgusting for even being near these people.
But she was calling her a commoner creature, basically.
Yeah. And Liz Maggie, is so wild. She won't even hug her boyfriend when he leaves.
She's like, I'm so mad.
She's just,
And it was just kind of like,
get over it.
You were drinking too.
Yeah.
Like, you drink vodka and you tell people you're in recovery. I'm sorry.
No, that's like...
Like, you straight up drink, like, you get bottle service and drink vodka.
You went out last night to a club and had bottle service and then invited a bunch of people there. Like, that's what people do at a club with bottle service. They get fucked up.
But stop holding... I think when you're in recovery, the worst thing you can do is, like, judge other people and be like... Like... Unless, obviously, like, I don't know. But I just don't think, like, holding your recovery against someone who's not in that place is the right move.
No.
And, like...
Well, it's also not fair.
And it's presumptuous.
It's, like,
very
hypocritical.
It is. And
I'm sure you acted like a wild, feral creature when you were, like, on drugs, Liz. And then now you're, like, turning around and pointing a finger at someone else. It's just, like... Have a little humility.
Liz, put down your vodka drink.
Yeah.
And go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And like, chill.
I also hate when people say like this kid when they like call that's
this
like,
kid is like so it's, annoying.
So annoying.
Yeah.
This kid.
This kid is like he's not a commoner creature. He's just like a goober.
Yeah, he's just like a bro.
Who needs to grow up and like maybe don't come to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not defending him, and he was out of control, but like don't be mean to Maggie about it.
Yeah.
Maggie's got enough on her plate.
A lot of problems, yeah.
You need to be her friend right now and just be like, if she was really that mad, she would have been like, hey, maybe...
Maggie is world weary.
She is.
Give her a break.
She's carrying, you know that like the Atlas?
Yeah.
It's Maggie.
That is Maggie. Just like... The world on her shoulders. Yeah.
If she could have just been like, hey, Maggie, why don't you tell Ryan to tell his friend to, like, can he, like, email my or text my friend and just apologize?
Yeah.
And, like, offer to pay for a tip.
Yeah.
Just make it right. I want, you know, my friend, I want to have a good relationship with. She could have explained it nicer instead of being, like, commoner creature, trash.
Yeah, that's just, like, how she feels about herself.
Yeah.
And her own shame for her own behavior when she was struggling.
Look, I have moments like I've been out and I'm like, I see like drunk people and I get like, I'm like, ugh. But like, I've been a fucking mess. Like, I've been a shit show. I've been the person that people come up to at parties and they're like, you okay? You okay, Claude?
Mm.
To me, you okay, Care? Like, I've been that. And like, you have to have some empathy and that's part of growing. And like, Liz, she does talk about recovery. So like, I'm not being like judgmental about her program. I don't know what kind of program she works, not my business. Not saying any kind of program is better than the other. I'm just saying
she needs to get.
If you're telling people that you're in this space, then using your own, you know, whatever got you to this better place against someone who's like not in the same place as you, I just think is bullshit.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say.
That's
sorry.
Fair.
I'm getting
You're heated.
No, it just it really annoys me.
It is hypocritical and. Rub me the wrong way.
Good.
I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you that much.
I lost any sort of like boner I had for Liz by now in the season is gone.
I lost it like my affinity for her when she was
like berating her like Asian class member. Yeah, that was like, it was pretty much gone then too.
Yeah, that was bad.
But now this is like the final nail in the coffin. Yeah.
Ugh, give me Amy any day.
Yeah. Speaking of Amy, she's setting up the whole scene. She goes, "It's a beautiful tent.
It's a beautiful tent. This is a beautiful tent." Amy to Angela. Angela comes over to check it out, to bring over her prints.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing she says after seeing, she goes, "Where's my wall that you promised? You promised me a wall."
And then Amy's like, "It's right over there. He's literally building it." And Amy has a construction worker building a wall.
And Angela goes, "Oh, okay." That's what made me think, like, I don't know, me a little sus of her.
Yeah, I just...
She's like, the idea
the lack of
her, like,
gratitude is shocking.
She goes, "Oh, where's my wall? You said I was going to have a..." It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
This woman...
She just shelved out $2,000 for you.
Out of her way to give you $2,000 to show your TBD photographs.
He's building a fucking wall.
She's having someone build a wall.
And Angela doesn't even thank her.
Four pictures and you can't even say thank you.
Where's my wall? I was told there'd be a wall. And Amy's like, "Oh, well.
There's a man over there."
There's a man over there.
You see him?
They'll come in from the streets.
The hammer.
I'm telling you, the crowds you'll see tonight will blow your mind. You'll never see anything like it in your life.
1,000 people will show up.
1,000 will be like Times Square in the middle of Wynwood.
Amy goes, "Sharon may have fired me, but I'm better for it." I was like,
"But I'm better for it."
No, you're not.
No.
Sharon, you got fired from an internship and then you bled out $2,000.
For a group of friends that don't like you.
Are actively...
plotting against you,
hate you, and make fun of you, but when the cameras are rolling,
it was pretty bleak.
I can't.
I wrote, "Fuck the EOC girls. Amy went above and beyond. Chantel is utter hell. Angela and Spencer are meant to be." Those are my notes.
I like that. That's a good poem.
Yeah.
Fuck the EOC girls. Amy went above and beyond.
Chantel is utter hell.
Dispatches from the gallery ghouls.
Dispatches.
Yeah. Sharon may have fired me, but I'm better for it. Wrong again.
So we cut to
Carrie.
I like black this out.
Boring. She's like managing the Mr. Brainwash event, yeah. Which I was like, lol, because I think this was before that documentary Meet Me in the Gift Through the Gift Shop came out.
Wait, was he in that?
Yeah, it's like all about how he's like a fake artist. Oh. Like he basically...
I thought that was about Banksy.
It was, but then it ends up being about Mr. Brainwash and how he like tricked people into like thinking he was an artist.
Whoa.
But basically he's like kind of the ultimate like scammer because he just like, I think through a series of hype and like not real talent, but just like hype, if I'm remembering correctly, by the end, you're just like, damn, this guy just like fooled us all.
His art was...
it's terrible.
Not good.
It's hideously ugly.
And Carrie's like, yeah, he just brings you back to like
your
place
childhood.
Of nostalgia.
I was like, my childhood didn't look anything like this fucking piece of shit art.
It's like Colonel Sanders in a cage.
Yeah,
like I don't relate.
Mm-mm. I certainly don't.
So then we cut back to
the pop-up shop.
the
EOC girls are finally setting out their wares on a table. Mm-hmm. And like settling in.
Chantal is pissed. She's got a glass of... they're all drinking wine. Mm-hmm. They're like... and then Angela goes, "No one's here."
Chantal goes, "I kind of hope zero people come. It would be hilarious." You can tell she's like looking at Claudia. Because basically the whole deal is if no one comes and the pop-up's a failure,
Chantal gets
to be right and it's Claudia's fault.
She's excited.
Because Chantal's made it very clear that she doesn't want to be here, but she's just doing it because like Amy's paying for it.
Yeah.
But now she's in the mode where, and I've done this to people, where you just make like snide remarks without like actually saying what you want to say.
Uh-huh.
Which is like, I hate this. I hate that I'm here right now. Or like being
I hate being next to you.
Yeah. Or just being like, you know what? I gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be here right now, and, like, good luck with everything.
No, but that's not Chantal.
No, Chantal just says, like, I knew it would be, like, I knew it would be embarrassing, but I didn't think it would be like this. You know what I mean? Like, she'll say that to someone within earshot of Claudia so that Claudia can feel extra stupid.
It's mutually assured destruction.
It's so...
I'm going to hell and you're coming with me.
Yeah. And I know when I'm in the moment doing that, I'm like, you need to stop. Like, this is actually, like, evil of you. But then there's something really fun about being that mean.
You can't help yourself.
I can't help myself.
Yeah, it's like if they were in a burning building together,
mm-hmm.
Chantal had an exit that she could get out easily. She would stay just to watch Claudia and be like, this is really bad.
She'd be like, it's hot in here. So you look so sweaty.
You're really sweating a lot.
You're really sweating. My dress is catching on fire. My flesh is burning. This is so sad. Chantal, like, in earshot of Claudia, she goes, yeah, it's totally sad. Like, about the pop-up. I'm like, also, this is your business. That's part of it, too, which I will... That's always when I'm in a Chantal mode. It has something to do, like...
With me. Yeah.
Something that I should be happy about or, like, getting on board about. But instead, I'm ready to just do a psychological takedown.
You're going to just, like, neg your way, like, to hell.
Yeah.
And, like...
slowly chip away at someone else's self-esteem through, like, third-party negs.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that in a while, but when I've
I think everyone's done that.
Yeah.
You're just, like, you're pissed. You're
pissed. You want someone to know how pissed you are, but you don't want to just, like, actively communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way funner and better to do it by just, like, doing it in earshot and making them feel small.
My favorite part was the sound of the fans of the tent because it was so loud. Yeah, they're just sitting there. They're, like, Claudia or Chantal's in the corner just, like,
She's folded in half at a certain point.
She's like the woman in like the magic show who gets cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer has like one part of her body that way and the other part that way, and she's just with a glass of shard, just being like, I hate this.
Hating her life.
And then finally, Amy gets on the corner of the street with a glass of wine in hand.
Takes to the street.
Literally pushing people into the restaurant space.
She goes, there's free drinks, there's art, it's to the right, check it out.
And then people just rando start coming in.
Yeah, because anything, like, if Amy comes up to you like wild-eyed and telling you to do something, you kind of have no choice but to obey.
I would go.
Yeah,
I'd be like, hell yeah.
There's no real downside.
No, they come in and they're like, oh wow, people are here. And then Claudia's like, these people are like the, like, street people, basically. She's like, they're like riff. I'm like, Claudia?
Oh yeah, she's like, she sent in a lot of people, but mostly riffraff. And it's just like,
and she's like, I saw some people wearing flip-flops. I'm like, they have money that they can put into your
tourists that are here,
into your wallet.
Yeah,
you can pretend that you're these tourists are from not America, and you can pretend that you're famous and get them to buy your shitty stuff.
Also, like, the cheapest thing, like, their price points are like $165 for like their weird craft store jewelry. I was like, you're selling like really expensive shit for being true nobodies and like an unclear pop-up.
Amy's literally taking people and like, we're going together, we're gonna go in together, and she's like linking arms, bringing people in, and they're like,
she corralled like 100 people,
and they're mad. Claudia's like disappointed. She's like, I thought like Amy promised us like the art walk crowd, and like, this is not it. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
God.
These people will buy your heinous jewelry.
Who do you loathe more, Claudia or Chantal?
Chantal at this point.
Yeah.
Claudia from, because Chantal is like aware of her wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Her Claudia is like, she fronts as like this real, like, she knows the real. It's like, you don't like having money. That's what, at the end of the day, you want to destroy yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't want to succeed. And you're sabotaging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, your friend, Amy, this woman, is on the street with a glass of wine, corralling people into your pop-up shop that no one has heard of because you didn't advertise it.
Yeah.
You expected her to do everything. and now you're upset because some people are wearing flip-flops?
It's just like Claudia has this like...
Sorry, I'm getting... This like actually made me like...
No, angry. It made me really mad too, because her sense of like entitlement over this entire thing is like, oh, if I just like get my parents to put a bunch of money in it, like it'll just work itself out.
Yeah.
And that's not how life works.
It's insane.
And like her whole approach is just like...
Being like, these aren't the people I want.
Being like, yeah, having people tee up opportunities for her, but then being like, ugh, it's like hard, or it's not what I want it. It's like she does that over and over.
These aren't the right people.
First with her parents, then with like Suck Lord, then, and it's just like, what's your damage?
Yeah. Angela is wearing glasses and like a Madame Blanc like...
Yeah, coat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And hear her going... Yeah, the photos are inspired by moroseness and cinema.
Also, later that she would have gotten like a new spiel or like crafted it to be like a little more engaging.
She goes later in the night. She goes, you know, I didn't sell anything again, but I got to put my name out there. She's had two events now.
No shit, you didn't sell anything.
Not one.
Called down these like cardboard cutouts that you price at like $500 a pop. And you can't even get like a good, you like can't even sell them well.
She hasn't sold one thing.
I love that Jane Holzer shows up.
I know. I wrote Queen Jane. She just buys.
She buys a ton of stuff.
That's like the only money they made in like 3 months. She just buys a bunch of the jewelry.
And they probably broke even or still ended up in debt because they had to haul all that shit down to Miami.
Yeah. And then by the end of the night, they're all cheersing Amy, who's holding a giant beer. Some mug. God bless Amy.
I love Amy. Like, that's a very specific, like, the way she drinks is, like, go hard on one thing all night and then switch to beer, like,
beer.
Later.
It's like Dorian's all over again.
Yeah, the switching to beer move is a true move that a lot of people do, but I, like, can't understand it. I used to, but I can't even do that anymore. Like, I actually, like, can't really drink beer.
I used to love beer.
Another time. Angela didn't sell any art at the pop-up. Damn.
2 out of 2.
Better luck next time, I guess.
0-2.
Yeah. Maybe some more photos instead of 8 photos.
Where's my wall?
Where's my wall?
You promised me a wall.
I love that the literal man was hired to build a wall. Like... Someone had to erect a wall out of scratch.
They got lucky.
Trees were cut down so that they could be pounded together and a wall would be erected so that Angela could hang her shitty photos.
Yeah, they some magical thinking paid off. They were like,
they secreted that pop up.
They literally got to Miami and were like, I guess we'll just like wait till someone offers to pay for us to have a pop up shop. And then literally someone paid $2,000 for them to have a pop up shop.
Yeah. God, I love they're like, if the pop up, Chantal's like, if it happens, it happens.
Great.
The universe delivered.
It did. So then we cut to, they're at the Mr. Brainwash event.
Can we talk about Amy's Mrs. Maisel outfit, though?
I know.
She did, like, a separate look.
She did.
It was really wild. Mr. Brainwash is Claudia's favorite artist.
Yeah, Claudia goes, he's my favorite artist. I was like, that explains everything.
Yeah.
Angela starts taking photos like behind the line, like she's at an event. She just suddenly
becomes an event photographer. I couldn't decide if she was hired to work this event or if she just loves,
I think,
like,
she just popped
out
of nowhere.
She loves, like, event photography.
Yeah.
It's not very morose there, though.
No, but she can find the moroseness at Mr. Brainwash.
Angela's, and then Claudia and Angela go on the hunt for some cock.
Claudia's like, I need to, like, stop hanging out with gay guys and just, like, try to go for some dick. And then the first hot guy she talks to, they're like, we're gay.
Angela goes, you're gay? Fuck off.
She goes, oh, fuck off.
Oh, fuck off. I loved that. Angela got me back with that move.
I wrote, nevertheless, she persisted.
And then they even said that.
Yeah.
At one point, they were like, wow, we had to persist.
And then Angela does go home with someone hot.
She goes home with a really fucking hot model with like the most insane body who's totally straight.
Yeah. They like make him lift up his shirt and they're like, on his ass.
But also Angela's gorgeous. Yeah. Like she's like, it's hard for me. It's like, stop. Like,
is it really? I don't think it is. Also, wait, if she did have a boyfriend during this time.
It must have been for the...
For the cameras.
The applause.
He seemed kind of gay to me.
Yeah.
Oh, Maggie and Ryan, then the next day, are like sunbathing. And
well, first, I just want to say...
Oh, no. What is it?
Liz and Amy are talking, and Liz goes, I can't stop thinking about how fabulous her boobs are, to Liz at the brainwash party.
Oh, yeah.
And Liz just smiles at her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Amy, just stop.
Give it up.
And then Amy goes, right now, I feel really happy because Liz is just really mad at Maggie, so she's being really nice to me. I was like, been there.
I know.
I see myself in Amy sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, former self.
We've all been Amy at one point or another.
Mm-hmm.
She's very like representative, I think, of like insecurity that you can feel in your like 20s,
yeah,
like, post-college.
Not accepting that not everyone's going to like you.
Yeah.
And being like, everyone has to like me!
And not knowing what your own boundaries are, so you just kind of like go along with whatever. I'm not jealous of any of them.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, she did persist.
She did. So then we cut to Liz
and Bobby, Bobby boyfriend.
Maggie and Ryan are sunbathing.
And like talking about trees.
Yeah.
Maggie's like, there's so many trees here. I was like, how much pot are you smoking? Ryan was like, there are actually more trees in like upstate
New York.
Upstate, there's a lot of trees.
He also had, I think he had a tattoo of New York.
He had a tattoo of Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana.
I thought it was.
I thought it was New York State.
It looked like Louisiana.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Probably.
Readers, weigh in. What was it?
Let us know. So then Liz and Bobby join them, and then Liz just starts going off on Ryan.
Liz sits down, says nothing to Maggie or Ryan, like walks past them with her sunglasses on and sits in like a chair farthest away from them, and then no one says anything. And then Liz goes, I'm actually ready to go. I'm like, Liz, you're wilding.
Ryan goes, I will go tip him. The club isn't open until 11. Like, I'll go later and tip him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Liz.
I'm getting in a lot of trouble for that.
And my name in Miami is being tarnished.
She's like, she can't forget about it.
No.
It's the thing. She's never been so mad in her life.
She's just a narcissist.
Yeah. I love, I'm actually ready to go.
I'm leaving. That's a power move.
Mm-hmm. Sitting down, not saying a thing, and then telling your boyfriend you're actually ready to go.
And at one point he's like, I think we should let it go.
He goes, just give him a chance to make it right.
Yeah.
Bobby gets it.
I love Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby's hot.
Bobby is not.
I'm into him.
You're into him? I love that. He's kind of a muscly guy.
He's nice.
He's like a meathead.
Mm-hmm.
He's sensitive.
He's a sensitive meathead.
He seems Italian, which I do like. He gives me a bit of a Sopranos vibe.
He's like a sensitive meat column.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to this weird moment of the next morning post EOC pop up. They're celebrating, I guess.
Yeah.
And Angelus and Spencer are rolling around in bed together
with Chantal.
Well, you think that's just them, and then all of a sudden Chantal just peeks her little head out, and it's like, oh, like threesome vibe.
Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing?
Angela goes, I can never be in bed with you guys ever again. And then she just leaves and goes back to New York.
Yeah, I don't understand what was happening.
Chantal's torturing Spencer.
Yeah.
She's like, you can
Chantal roll. Was like, I just knew he's always had... Well, Chantal goes, Angela, Spencer has a crush on Angela. Angela has a crush on me. I'm just chalking up Spencer's crush on her to his Asian fetish. Like, brings it up again. And then they're like, TBD making out, rolling around.
Did Chantal and Angela fuck?
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't get that Angela was like obsessed with Chantal.
Maybe Chantal was like, only I can fuck her, Spencer, and you're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm. I love that power move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
We'll never know what happened under the covers.
Mm-mm. So then we cut to Amy's
about, far more wholesome scene.
Yeah, the Polyakov's house. It's like a beautiful, they're beautiful Miami manor. She's playing football in the backyard with the brothers.
She's throwing the ball around with Dylan.
She goes, don't throw that ball, you're like a quarterback.
She's a linebacker.
She's a linebacker.
The youngest is like...
7?
Yeah. Linebackers don't throw. The best is too, like, the role she takes on is like, I was happy to see her with her brothers because she's like
maternal. You know,
she's maternal and happy.
Yeah.
And she's like, like the mom role where she's like, at least someone loves me. Like, he's my favorite or something like yeah. that. Like, joking around. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
They're nice to her, the brothers. They probably adore her.
They're sweet.
Yeah.
And like, she's the older sister.
I think what is the reason why Amy doesn't mix well is because she has like a loving family.
Yeah.
And like, her parents love her and like, she loves her siblings. Yeah. And like, I think she's clashing with all them because she has like unconditional love.
Yeah, that actually tracks.
And they're all just like, she's so annoying.
And it's just like, no, she's like a kind person, like grows up, like has a warm, yeah. kind, loving family. Her brothers seem genuinely like sweeties and like yeah. they really like each other and like to all hang out together.
They must be her like from another marriage.
You think so?
They're pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless the mom had her when she was really young. She's like a good
She's 25. Then the other brother is like, she has one brother that's graduating high school or something.
She has a brother who's like 20, and then she has like those two little brothers. Maybe it's from maybe they're just...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe they were older than they looked.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so...
I love this moment, though, because Amy's world... comes crashing down.
Well, I love when her dad is like looking for her all over the house and she's hiding. He goes, I want to talk to your sister. Where is she?
Where's Amy?
And you just don't hear. She's like hiding from him.
Yeah.
I've been there before.
She does not want to talk to daddy.
And then finally he corrals her into his den. And he basically is like, we sold the New York place, so you got to leave in 2 weeks.
And you can tell it's the first time she's ever heard this because she honestly like is
she's dumbfounded.
Dumbstruck. Yeah.
She's like, wish you had told me. And he's like, well, are you going to be, are you confident in your ability to get like a job in the art world to support yourself? And she's like,
what I love about the art world is the adventure. And I've been able to have a lot of adventures. And he goes,
art puzzle is over.
Yeah.
That was the line.
I'm not talking about an adventure. I'm talking about a job, a paycheck.
And he also says the internship is over.
Yeah.
And I think he meant,
you were fired. We all know.
You were interning for me.
Yeah.
Like, I am your internship is me paying for you.
Yeah.
I've had that talk where, like, your parents want to talk to you about something serious, and you're just avoiding it. And
yeah.
You're just like, oh, I gotta go over here.
I'm late. I gotta run. I'll see you later. We'll circle back to this. Thanks, Pops.
She basically says like, oh, Pops. And then she just like laughs.
She laughs, but then he's like, no. And then she's like, like, she's just like,
She's just like pointing at him like,
Dad.
Like,
2 weeks, you literally are gonna have to move out.
He
laid down the law.
He's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, my father's a doctor. He works really hard.
She's like, I do get it. He's a doctor. He works hard.
I wrote, the internship is over, quoted Steve Polyakov /God.
The firm hand of justice has come down on little old Amy. I wonder if this is when she moved back to Miami.
Maybe. I don't blame her.
No, it seems like a good move.
Her joy is at home.
Yeah, and it's warm there.
She has brothers who love her, and she probably has friends there that are like...
A community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrie talks to her boss. Like, I said the most compelling thing about the scene was they're meeting in like an outdoor courtyard of their hotel and there's a loud car horn going off.
Yeah, I heard that too. And I was like, what is that? Like, I got really excited at that moment.
And I said that was the most compelling thing about her storyline this season.
Yeah. I just wrote Carrie and Tony meet, blah. Sorry, it's just not exciting.
She's probably really nice.
She's really nice. I get like she has a great vibe, but just like not the kind of vibe that is like what you want to watch on a reality television program.
She shouldn't be on this.
No. Maggie and Liz meet at Birch Coffee.
Back in New York.
That's Caroline Calloway's favorite spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Birch, yeah. She's always shit. Going to Birch.
In the West Village?
Mm-hmm. She gets it every day.
Maggie's upstairs waiting, and then Liz comes in, and she's looks like she's about to cry.
Yeah, Liz, like, something about whatever happened at Mokai has triggered, like, way more things.
Did something happen that we didn't see, maybe?
I think that Liz, all this, like, energy is displaced emotions that she really has about herself and her own shame and embarrassment of her actions when she was, like, really fucked up. That's, like, coming out on... Yeah, on the Maggie and Ryan situation.
Yeah, she needs to...
It's a therapy time.
Yeah.
If something's bothering you that much where you can't stop talking about it, you should talk to your therapist about it.
Yeah, this actually made me feel bad for her a little.
Yeah, I was just like, you're not thriving right now, Liz.
No, you could be.
You could be, easily.
You have all the resources
to thrive. Every ingredient is there for you to make a thrive cake, but instead...
A tiramisu of thrive.
Yeah, a true, like, seven-layer... What's that?
Tiramisu.
Tiramisu, yeah, but then there's, like...
Seven-layer cake?
Leche.
Oh, dos...
tres leches.
Tres leches.
Yeah, you could have a tres leches.
Of thrive.
Of total thrive, deliciousness. And you're choosing to, like, wallow in, like, Mokai drama.
Self-sabotage. But yeah. She basically is like, I think your boyfriend's beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to Maggie, I think you should be looking for guys that will, like, fulfill you. And Maggie goes, but why, though?
That's so Maggie.
And Liz is like...
But why, though? And then Liz is like, I gotta go. Liz, like, walks into oncoming traffic. She's, like, the kind of girl that would just be, like, walk into oncoming traffic so she can just, like, get laid up at Cedars for a while and, mm-hmm. like, heal. You know?
Yeah.
She's like, I gotta go to, like, what's the Cedars of New York? Not Beth Israel. Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just chill.
Yeah. Just got to go to Mount Sinai, take a load off.
That nice suite that Emily Blunt goes to in The Devil Wears Prada when she breaks her leg with mm-hmm. like a view of the city.
Gorgeous. Fucking a great gorgeous. Place to recover from a terrible bottle service night.
And a terrible coffee meeting. Oh my God. No, the most harrowing moment this season is saved for the last 5 minutes.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was there something else?
No, I was just like, Liz says Ryan's a cheap ass. I love too. She brings up this conversation, and then as it's just getting good, she goes, whatever, I'm over talking about this, obviously. And it's like, no, you're not, because you literally came here to talk about this.
You've told, like, the person who does your nails about it.
Yeah.
Like, you tell...
You've made
it
your, like, aim status.
You wrote it in skywriting over New York.
Yeah.
The entire It's like
thing.
The Star Wars scrawl, like, just like, over Manhattan. Everyone's, like, looking at it. And
she
it's
hired
like,
80 jets
yeah.
to just do, like, the like thing so that it all, a huge paragraph of skywriting.
But by the time you're done reading it, like, you go back through, but it's all, like,
it's
becoming
like,
cloud.
Away.
And you're like, wait, what was that about Bobby?
Something Mokai? What's Mokai? She's like, fuck it. Fire him up again.
Is that a coffee? Is that a coffee shop? Oh, God.
I love bringing up a problem and then going, whatever, I'm over talking about this.
It's like when Serena Vanderwoodson would be like apologizing to someone and go, you really need to think about that. Or she would go, and I'm sorry, but you really need to think about that, and then walk away before they could say anything.
I love it.
So, like, she would go to apologize to them and then making them feel like they did something wrong.
Yeah. Classic. That's one of my favorite moves. And by favorite, I mean least favorite. Don't do it.
Don't fucking do it to
don't
me.
Don't fucking do it.
So then we cut to the end. Claudia gets... Okay, Claudia's smoking...
Alone, smoking in a store. Which
with
is
art
like,
and clothes.
Yeah.
With art. She's smoking a cig in her gallery.
Yeah.
Her store. Her place of business.
Like, people are going to come in there and then...
Leave.
Buy, like, a sweater that smells like your dirty cigarettes. Like, no, Claudia.
No, people are going to come in and go, ew, it smells like cigarettes in here, and leave.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a smoker.
That's rule number one is, like, don't smoke around the merch.
I'm a smoker, and when I go into, like, a place that smells like, I'm like, disgusting.
You know, not even smokers want to enter, like, a smoking area.
Like, I'm ashamed of it. No, I'm not actually ashamed of it. But, like, I'm, the last thing I want to do is, like, be in a store that smells like cigs.
No.
I was like, what? It was, I was actually, she was on one.
She was on one. She goes, things in the gallery have not picked up. In fact, they've gotten worse. But it's like, it's such a sad voice.
Her life. She opens a con, okay, she's opening a Con Ed bill for the store with, just while like holding her cigarette.
Final notice.
She's like, do you ever see I Know Who Killed Me? Do you remember the scene when Lindsay's sewing her finger back on? And she goes, she's about to go on and do her like dance her at the strip club. And she's smoking a cigarette and she goes, oh shit. And her finger falls off because it's being like voodooed off. And she goes, oh shit. And she puts her cigarette in one in her mouth and she's sewing her finger back together. That reminded me of Claudia opening this Con Ed bill.
That is a very...
It's a deep cut, but it's
a deep cut, but yeah.
If anyone remembers that movie besides us. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I actually don't.
There's a scene where she just goes, oh shit. And she's...
Why does her finger fall off?
Because she's psychically linked to her twin.
Oh, yeah.
And her twin is being...
Her twin's being killed. So every time that something happens to the twin, it happens to Lindsay.
Her twin gets her leg cut off.
And then Lindsay gets a leg cut.
And then she gets a bionic leg. And the doctor goes, don't forget to battery power it. Or don't forget to charge it.
God, the Federation would be proud.
It would be. That movie was wild.
That movie might have been like... funded by the Federation.
It was funded. I Know Federation. Who killed me. They support me. They support my art, my endeavors. But Claudia's. So of course she calls her mom.
She calls her mom, and I think she's doing a call for money.
I know.
Like when you called your parents to like you want money, but you're too ashamed to ask for it.
You like go with this meandering story.
So you just are like really down and out and sad and just like are waiting for them to be like, oh, do you want some money? Which like no one in their right mind is going to ever do for you.
No.
Like if someone called me, the last thing I would do is be like, do you want like $500? Like that's not happening.
She calls her mom and she goes, our electricity bill is so big and we haven't, it's more money than we made in like a month. And the mom goes, well, that's what happens when you have a store that like a business that you just start, Claudia.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know.
But we have no money.
We have no money.
But I'm also really like, hard. You do have like $200 to your name. She carries around a Balenciaga.
Yeah. It was.
I'm like, then, hun, go like pawn that off. Like,
yeah,
you got to learn how to get scrappy.
Move into the store.
When I've gone broke, I've gotten very resourceful.
She should move into like a closet in the store and like save money for like 6 months.
Yeah, move into the hallway.
Yeah,
do whatever it takes if you're so passionate about having your gallery in your store.
She's clearly not that passionate. If I was selling my art in that store and I saw
you're
that
selling
she was,
art for $7,500 and just like chiefing cigs.
If I saw that, I would be like, I'm taking my art back and you're going to pay me for the damage you did to my art.
Because
That's damaging the art.
Yeah.
That was wild to me that she was smoking a cigarette in a boutique.
Yeah. It was crazy.
And then her mom just kind of is like, basically.
Her mom
like,
goes, well, you really got to get the name out there. Like, no one knows about your store. Why don't you go out to dinner with some 30-somethings? You got to get the 30-somethings in there. And then Claudia just goes, oh, no, her mom goes, well, you need to stir something up. You need to stir it up.
She's right.
It's great advice.
She's like, thanks.
And then she goes, yeah, I need to have dinner with the 30-something women. And her mom's like, yeah. Claudia's not going to ever have a dinner with the 30-something women.
We caught her on a weird... that was a weird moment.
It was a weird moment. Also, when she goes... After she's things in the gallery have not picked up and things gone from bad to worse, she goes, Chantal left town and went to Paris for a weekend with Spencer.
I forgot this.
and then got really, really sick. So Chantal's just gone.
Chantal got like, she got like Jules.
She did get mono. Jules, like Euro mono. I love like a weekend to Paris with got, Spencer.
And then getting strep.
Yeah. And then getting like flattened out with disease.
I thought of Jules mono when that came up. Ugh. She got room service and like was having the time of her life. And then the third day she was there, she was like,
ugh. Yeah, fully contagioned. That's the worst. We've all been there.
Oh my God. Mm,
prayers for Chantal. So Chantal's like off the end of century radar. And now it's just like Claudia in the midst of like an Adderall.
Where's
binge.
Laura?
Who Laura. Knows? Lara's like gone.
Lara is.
She is no longer like in this show, I guess.
Yeah, she was like, I've had enough.
She slowly like fades away into the ether.
Yeah.
And then it's just Claudia, who can't even bear to step outside and smoke. She just is like chaining cigs in the store.
It was, yeah, it was very like.
You know you're on too much Adderall when.
You're smoking cigs inside.
Yeah. When you're just like, fuck it, I need it.
Yeah. Been there.
Yeah. Same. It ain't pretty.
Well, what is pretty is the show.
Is Amy still your fave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Chantal is actually slowly rising.
Chantal.
I'm repulsed by her behavior, but I'm.
She's iconic, though.
She's iconic, and she's honest about who she is, which mm-hmm. I appreciate. The other ones are all, like... But Amy and Chantal, I think, are my favorites.
Yeah. They're the standout duo of the bunch. I wish that they would have a spinoff, like, road... They need to have, like, a road buddy...
Oh, my God.
...show.
That would be really good. Mm-hmm. That's the oddest pair you can think of.
It's a true odd couple.
It would be so compelling.
I feel like... Amy, I don't even think Chantal could break Amy. I think it would be the other way around. I think Amy could break Chantal.
I think Amy would convince Chantal to rob a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Chantal would like get swept up in Amy.
Yeah. And I just think Amy like always being around, being like, hey, what's up? What are you thinking? What do you want to do today? Like it would finally like get to Chantal. Like she would just have to succumb to that energy. Yeah.
Fuck.
Because like Amy kind of doesn't understand like the jabs that Chantal does.
No.
Like those third person jabs, they go right over Amy's head. They fly right over her blowout. Ugh. Ugh, these two. God, next week, the end of an era.
Yeah, we'll have something else up our sleeve.
We'll put our heads together and come up with...
Put our heads together.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh my God. This has been so fun.
This is the joy of my life.
We...
To pod with you.
Oh my God, me too.
Everyone follow Carrie on Twitter and Instagram at ecario.
At Amy Polyakov. I think that's how you say her name.
Polyakov? I don't know.
Polyakov.
I've never tried to like learn any of the gallery girls' last names.
Amy, it's Maggie Schaefer, Chantal Chadwick.
Chantal Chadwick, what a name.
Angela Pham, Liz Margulies.
Liz Margulies.
And
Carrie.
Carrie. But yeah, well, we have a doozy of a finale for you. So
doozy of a finale.
Get ready.
Get ready. Buckle up.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership.
Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.